In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear canon, my dear seminary candidates, my dear altar servers, and my dear faithful, on this holy night, we commemorate the institution of two sacraments. The sacrament of Holy Eucharist, the greatest of all the sacraments. And as the Council of Trent teaches us, in that very same moment, the institution of the sacrament that brings us the Eucharist, the Holy Priesthood. This has been brought down to us in sacred tradition, revealed to us in the written word, and in all that has come to us through the apostles. According to that word of the apostle which we hear today in the epistle. Ego accepi a domino quodet tradidi vobis. I hand down to you what I have received from the Lord. But for those who read this text and consider this word hand down, tradidi, it could be lost on no one that this is the very same word used in the text to refer to the handing over of Christ to his enemies. That is, the very same word for tradition is the word for betrayal. Many of you are familiar with the question that a parish office will get every year, which always brings a smile to the face of a priest or to the parish secretary, when someone calls asking, what time is Mass on Good Friday? Of course, if a priest recounts this to you, it is always with a bit of a smile, as he expects you to know that, of course, there is no Mass on Good Friday. Nevertheless, some of you may wonder this year, if you looked at the bulletin closely, wait a minute, isn't there some sort of Mass on Good Friday? For on the bulletin it is marked Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. Yes, this is what the ceremony that took place on Good Friday, which in Latin goes by the Greek name simply Parasheve, the day of preparation, taken from the Old Law. On this day, the sacrifice of the Mass was never offered. What is offered is something called the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. On this holy night, the priest, in an extraordinary rite, consecrates two large priest hosts, one to be consumed this evening at Mass, and the other to be carried in a chalice wrapped in his humeral veil through the church, ending at the altar of repose, and there to remain as, in fact, the only remnant of the Blessed Sacrament, and to be consumed by the priest alone at this Mass of the Pre-Sanctified on Good Friday, after which moment the Blessed Sacrament is no more to be found upon the earth until it is renewed in the sacrifice on Easter night. We know that this has always been the practice of the Church. Never has the Church offered the sacrifice of the Mass on Good Friday. But St. Thomas Aquinas, in all his admirable writings on the Eucharist, we find a question which perhaps some of you may have wanted to ask from time to time. And at first glance, we might suppose that it is a question put simply out of curiosity, that perhaps we better not ask it. Nevertheless, This question comes up in the teachings of the angelic doctrine. What if Mass had been celebrated on Good Friday? By that I do not mean, what if Mass were to be celebrated tomorrow, or any other Good Friday in this long age of the Church until the end of time? No, the question St. Thomas asked is, what if Mass had been celebrated by the Apostles on the very day that Christ died, or at any time between his death and his resurrection? It may seem to, at first, that this is a needless question for me to bring up with you. Why would we need to know such a thing? And yet this reflection is important when we consider the meaning of these ceremonies which we are celebrating in the next 3 days. We all learn, and indeed those who are preparing to make their first Holy Communion learn, that this is the greatest of the sacraments, the Eucharist, because all sacraments contain the grace of Christ. But this sacrament really is Christ. It contains his body and blood, his soul and divinity. But St. Thomas points out, on the day that Christ died, he truly died. That is to say, his body was on the cross, his blood was pouring out for the salvation of mankind, and his soul descended into hell. Christ's soul was separated from his body and blood. What about his divinity? Here St. Thomas gives a very sure answer. We know full well that the divinity of Christ, that is, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took on human flesh. And so, since that moment, has been at every time united to the body and blood of Christ. So too with the soul of Christ. The divinity of Christ is always united to the soul of Christ, that human soul. This is what we call the hypostatic union, the union of the human and divine natures in a single person. And so, when Christ's body reigned from the tree of the cross and his soul was already departed, the divinity of Christ was still there. Just as the divinity of Christ was with the soul of Christ descending into hell to make his house call on the devil, telling the prince of evil, no more shall you hold the souls of the just who waited so earnestly for my coming. In answer, though, to this question, St. Thomas says, if the apostles had celebrated Mass on Good Friday, although he does not dare to say that they did do so, if they had, the sacrament at that moment would have contained the body, blood, and divinity, but not the soul of Christ. This is truly for us an unspeakable mystery. And in answering such a question, we all sense that we should not go further in our questioning, that all such questions really should only be considered on our knees before that most august sacrament which we shall adore this evening. And yet it is a reminder of that teaching of the angelic doctor that Christ is really present in the sacrament as he is here and now. We, attending Mass year after year, know Christ in the sacrament as he has been since Ascension Thursday. He is present in the sacrament, glorified, and as Christ reigning gloriously at the right hand of the Father until he comes to judge the living and the dead. In those joyful days after the resurrection, before he ascended into heaven, the apostles knew him in the breaking of bread. He celebrated Mass with them in those days, and so they received in that sacrament Christ glorified and risen. We do not believe that the apostles dared to celebrate Mass on Good Friday, so that leaves only one other possibility, which we know occurred, the very first Mass, Holy Thursday. Christ instituting this sacrament and at the same time instituting the Holy Priesthood. And how was Christ present in this sacrament then? It truly contained his body and blood, his soul and divinity. But it did not yet contain Christ glorified. No, this was in qua nocte tradebatur, in those haunting words of the apostle, which translated literally mean on that very night in which his betrayal was underway. In the very night that Christ was handing down to us this most sacred of traditions, he himself was being handed over. Handed over in different ways. For, if I may continue just a moment with the admirable teaching of our doctor, he explains why Mass is celebrated at different times during the day, on all those days besides Good Friday when we do celebrate. At every point, he says, it is to signify a different element of Christ's passion. On Sundays and feast days, we celebrate Mass liturgically at the third hour, after the office of Terce, because it was at that hour that the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles, but more especially, says St. Thomas, because it was at that moment that Christ was crucified by the tongues of his own brethren, the Jews. Then, on ferias throughout the year, Mass is celebrated, he said, at the sixth hour, that is after the office of Sext, in commemoration that it was at that moment that Christ was crucified at the hands of the soldiers, nailing him to the cross. Finally, Masses on days of penance are celebrated at the ninth hour, after the office of Nun, in commemoration of when Christ, finally, the work of redemption accomplished, gave up the ghost. On this special night, though, this night when Mass was first instituted, we are outside, to some degree, from this liturgical schedule. Although, strictly speaking, this Mass is celebrated after the hour of Nun. Because this was the night in which his betrayal was underway. On Holy Thursday, that first Holy Thursday, the Christ who was present in the sacrament was not yet the Christ whom the Apostle proclaims in his epistle to the Romans, Christ risen from the dead, who now dies no more. Separation of his soul and body was still possible. This was a Mass instituted at the moment when, as he loved us unto the end, this own race, this poor fallen human race, for whom he was to shed his blood, was the very race that was plotting his death. Sometimes you may encounter certain pious writers who like to suppose that somehow Judas had already left the scene at this point, that he wasn't there for the institution of the Eucharist, and so did not commit a a sacrilege. I cannot see how any writer could hold such a thesis. It seems clear enough from the Gospel and all the tradition of the fathers that Judas most certainly was there. After all, we know from Holy Writ that he was made a bishop, which is why St. Matthias takes his place after his suicide. No, Judas certainly was there. And it does not take anything away from the mystery of the Eucharist that the very first Mass already had there a sacrilegious priestly ordination, episcopal consecration, and First Communion. No sacrilege has been there since the beginning. Indeed, this is why we have this epistle this evening, not only for those preparing to be received into the Church, but for all of us who are renewing our baptismal promises by a fervent Holy Communion this Eastertide. The Apostle reminds us that from the very first, there have been those who betray the mysteries of Christ to his enemies. From the beginning, there have been those who have not examined their souls properly before approaching the sacraments of Christ, most especially the most august sacrament of Holy Eucharist. We are reminded then that this sacrament was instituted precisely because we all have been, at one time or another, a traitor to Christ. Let us all then, with humble and contrite hearts, place ourselves for at least 1 hour in the garden tonight with our sweet Savior, on this night when he loved us unto the end and instituted the sacrament of Holy Eucharist for our nourishment unto eternal life, and the holy priesthood to obtain that entry into the Holy of Holies for that eternal redemption. Amen.